Well, the book is about how to implement social media specifically for learning within organizations. And it's different than most of the books out there in that most books on social media talk about social marketing. And so the book is really to help organizations implement social media for learning within organizations and also deal with the potential detractors or people who say you can't do it. And so we also have sections in each chapter helping people address any concerns that might arise.
And a couple reasons why I selected this book as the Federal News Radio Book Club book. Your argument generally is these tools out there, social media, collaborative tools, whatever you want to call them, are really changing the way we learn to a certain degree.
Yes, I think the natural inclination of people is to learn from each other. And what the social tools have done is they've taken down boundaries, borders, and allow people to learn regardless of where they are, what the time zone is, and to really facilitate quick and timely learning from each other. And that's one of the beautiful things of the new tools that are available.
And the net result of this is one of the really effective ways to bring about change. We always say, hey, changing organizations is so difficult. This can be one of the ways of going about doing that, isn't it?
Yes, and we've seen it, you know, particularly with the CIA as an example, where they have become much more effective based on how they're sharing information. And we have a section in the book that talks specifically about what's called the World Intelligence Review, which is WIRE, the CIA calls it, in order to share information amongst the people who need to know.
Which I love that you included government, because so oftentimes people talk about these things and they don't include government at all. So I was really excited that you had done that. One of my favorite phrases in the book you come through it a couple times in the book, but the difference between training and collaborate, you talk about training. Training really is instructing people about things that we already know, teaching them, okay, don't do this or do that, that kind of stuff. This collaborative stuff is dealing with all the challenges that we don't know the answers to.
Absolutely. And there was a recent IBM study that talked about what do future leaders have to worry about it. And they looked at it from two perspectives, one from senior leadership perspective, and the second from students who are in MBA programs taking a look at that. And all of them, both groups, talked about how complex and integrated the problems of the future are and will be. And in order to solve those problems, it's not going to be one person solving them. It's going to be a collaborative effort because it takes collaborative mind power to solve these issues.
One of the things that I so often hear when people are rolling out these kinds of collaborative tools is either you almost need frontline folks who buy into this, but you also need top-level folks to buy into this. And getting both of those folks pointed in the same direction sometimes can be really hard, can it?
Yes, without a doubt, you want to have executive-level support. You've got a couple of potential issues going on. One is, particularly if you're in a industry that's highly regulated, or you know, you have to deal with compliance issues, or you're highly concerned about secure data privacy issues, you want to be sure that you're getting support from the top, because as you open up and people are sharing, there might be times where there's some uncomfort with that, and the top has to support that, obviously within certain guidelines. I think the bottom is a little bit different, sort of, you know, the bottom up pull that's happening within organizations. We've got the millennials coming into the workforce,
yeah,
and the Bureau of Labor Statistics says that by 2014, potentially half of the workforce is going to be millennials, and they are so comfortable collaborating with the technology, learning from each other, and so this is very natural to them.
It's in their DNA almost.
Absolutely.
I have a little sister who's 25 years old, and she barely remembers phones with cords, for goodness sakes. But that's part of the, it seems to me, part of the, as I've been reading through this, this seems like such a unique time, and particularly in the government facing this, you have this almost changing of the guard in terms of the workforce, all these tools in the internet, and then all the tools built on the internet, which are all relatively easy to use, all this happening at once.
Yeah, it's great. And you sort of got the other thing going on, too, is what we talked about a few years ago. Everybody was worried about the potential exodus of the baby boomers out of the workforce. And obviously that has not happened for a variety of reasons. But at some point, they are going to leave. And there's a lot of institutional knowledge trapped inside their minds. And the collaborative tools allow that sharing to be cataloged, and you can search it and reused for future situations.
I often hear leaders saying, and perhaps it's the term social media, saying this is not relevant to helping us do our jobs more better, faster, cheaper, more effectively. And oftentimes I point to things like Blockbuster. Blockbuster didn't really take the internet real seriously, and look where they are now. My sense is, if you're not at least dabbling in this stuff in some form or fashion, if you don't at least try and get it, there's a real chance to be just completely left behind.
Oh, absolutely. Particularly as, you know, as the economy improves and you're starting to have to compete for your future workforce, whether it's in the government or in the private sector, what's going to happen if you want to attract, retain, engage those individuals and you don't have the tools with which they're most comfortable available to them, they're not going to stay in your organization. They're not even going to consider being hired by the organization.
And you have a wonderful section in the book about how to respond to critics, and critics who say, you know, our organization just isn't going to embrace this stuff. What if people say inappropriate things? What if incorrect information gets out there? Is there a broad response that you can give to folks who are just saying, this just doesn't fit into our organization?
I usually say two things. One, if the CIA can figure it out, the odds are that your organization can figure it out. But the second is that, you know, I don't think it's a technology problem. I think it's a management problem. If, you know, someone is, wants to share private information about your organization, they're going to do it whether or not there's a tool. You know, they might share it over a drink at a bar. You know, so what are you going to do about that? You know, that's a management problem and a hiring problem.
And there are a bunch of different ways. I think sometimes people say, well, this is going to replace, no longer will we have conferences, we'll just do everything online. It's always struck to me, and what I'm getting from the book so far is this is additive to how we learn. It doesn't replace anything. This is really adding to the tools that we have.
Absolutely. And, you know, you can go back. There's just tons of examples. You know, did the internet replace, you know, physical shopping? No way, even though there were some predictions that bricks and mortar were done when e-commerce came out. And this enhances and facilitates learning. So it is definitely additive, as you describe.
Are there lessons learned? Are there things that CIA and other organizations have done that enable them to tap into this new social learning in effective ways?
Absolutely. They have. They most certainly have management support. They didn't try to transform their entire organization overnight, and they allowed it to build on itself. So as you know, like you look at Twitter, you can look at Facebook, and how they, you know, it's organic growth. People find value in it, and they want to contribute. They want to participate. And granted, you want some strategic seeding of that information, so there's something compelling there. But all of them have taken a relatively slower approach and allowed it to build from there and demonstrate success.
But part of this seems a little bit scary because there is a certain you don't have that just very hierarchical top-down control. And if you're a control freak, this seems like a period of time when it's difficult.
Yeah, welcome to the new world.
Right. Well, and you almost get that sense of that there's folks hanging on, and you know, well, journalists. Look at journalists. We loved it the day when we could tell you what information you got in what form at what time and how much of it, and we got to control it all. We don't got that at all anymore.
Yeah, and what do you find there? I was just reading some stat the other day that said that people are consuming more news than ever before, which is interesting.
Yes, if only they were paying for all of it. But
I hear you.
we're trying to figure out a way we can actually make a living out of it. But it is a similar challenge that if you my sense is if you don't take this seriously at some degree, you need to at least dabble, dip your toe in, jump into the pool. It's not all that bad.
Absolutely. And the book was specifically written to help people get started by having concrete examples in a variety of organizations of how they have implemented social learning successfully.
One thing that you hope people take away from the book and hope that they prep for our book club discussion, if there's one thing you hope the book leaves them with, it would be?
Tools to get started. As you say, get them started. Start dabbling.